This is The View from 22 from The Spectator. Subscribe from just £1 a week at spectator.co.uk.
Welcome to a View from 22 podcast special. I'm Sebastian Payne, speaking to you from Rochester in Kent, and I'm joined by Isabel Hardiman and James Forsyth. On Thursday evening, the Shadow Attorney General, Emily Thornby, has resigned from Ed Miliband's Shadow Cabinet following a picture on Twitter of a van and some flags. James, this whole thing is slightly incomprehensible. Can you just explain, for people who are just hearing this the first time, what has happened this evening?
Well, it's not entirely easy to explain, but I'll give it a stab. So Emily Thornbury, who is the Labour MP for Islington South, she's out campaigning in Rochester today. She saw a flag with three St George's flags flying from it and a white van parked in front. And she tweeted a picture of it with the hashtag Rochester. This was immediately taken by critics as snobbery, as a kind of look at these people. No wonder UKIP are going to win this seat. When Thornbury was challenged on this, that she said she'd taken the picture because it was a remarkable sight, which just kind of compounded her problems. I think people thought this was a story that was going to cause Labour a bit of embarrassment. It was going to add to the sense that Labour was a party that's now run by a kind of metropolitan elite that's dislocated from its working class base. But then, spectacularly at 10:30 p.m. tonight, she signed, which has just made this story a far bigger story than it otherwise would have been. And I think this is something Labour leadership, which undoubtedly leaned on her, will live to regret, because it has set the bar remarkably low for future demands for Labour resignations.
One of the things that added fuel to this fire, Isabel, was her response to The Guardian this evening, which was an apology in which she also said that some of her critics, online critics, I think it's fair to say, because the whole thing has moved so quickly, there's not really been a chance for anyone else to criticise her for this, is because they're biased against Islington, which is the place where Thornbury lives and where she's the MP for. How much of her resignation do you think was to do with that? How much of it was to do with the online backlash?
I don't think that helped at all, because obviously the MP for Islington, given the current sort of anti-London, anti-establishment, anti-rich North London Labour MP sentiment that there is anyway, for the Islington MP to tweet a picture of what looks like a white van man's house with some sort of signs of patriotism on it is really damaging anyway. For her then to highlight the fact that she's from Islington and to say that this is some kind of prejudice against the oppressed masses in Islington just makes it that much worse. But like James, I'm amazed that Labour thought that making her resign would make this easier for them in the short term or the long term, because tomorrow's story, if the Tories do lose this by-election, which they look set to, that they boasted initially that they were going to humiliate Mark Reckless by winning that seat back. They were dead sure they'd be able to beat him, and they were very keen to throw everything they had at it. Tomorrow's story could have been Tory humiliation and seat they expected to win. Now it's much more complicated, because the Labour Party has got the front page of The Sun tomorrow. It also has a minister who's resigned, and there will be much more discussion about whether their failure to do well in this seat was because of people like Emily Thornbury, who didn't understand the voters of Rochester and Strood and mocked their flags and their vans.
I think Isabel's completely right, which is Labour were hoping, and the line from Miliband, Lawless and Shadow Cabinet the last few weeks has been, look, Ed's having a difficult time at the moment, just wait until the 20th of November. UKIP will win a seat off the Tories and the spotlight will shift from Miliband, the unforgiving Westminster spotlight will shift from Miliband to Cameron, and Ed will have a bit of breathing space. They're denying themselves that breathing space now, because they have made themselves a major part of the story tomorrow. As an Islington resident, I feel I should add that the thing that made this point particularly odd is it's not like you don't see white vans and St George's crosses in Islington. You might not see as many of them as you might see in some other parts of the country, but they're still around here. It's not completely, as I was walking in tonight, I saw one. I mean, it's not a completely unimaginable sight.
So the question is, do you both think that they did the right thing? Because normally when a politician
doesn't resign and there's an anger building. It's a vacuum. But do you think we'd still be talking about this tomorrow, given, you know, that UKIP look as if they're on track to win the by-election?
I think a strong statement from Ed Miliband saying that he really condemned this and that he was really embarrassed and humiliated by what Emily Thornberry had said probably would have given enough, would have sort of fed the story enough without a resignation. Personally, I can understand why they've done it, because they want to try and kill the story off, but I slightly feel they've sort of pushed bellows and pumped more air into this.
I think they have made the story a bigger story than it otherwise would have been. And I think the other problem for Miliband now is that everyone will be on the lookout for any comment or tweet or anything from any Labour MP that could be seen to in any way be mocking or patronising. And then Miliband will get the horrible question from any politician, well, you sack so-and-so for doing that, so why won't you sack this person? I mean, I think when people today, when I saw that a Tory MP had called for Emily Thornberry to be sacked from Shadow Cabinet, I could have chuckled, because it just seemed to be one of those kind of absurd CCH gives, oh, can we get someone to call for her to resign? You know, one of those things made more in hope than expectation. And then, you know, knock me down for seven, they have got to resign.
And as we've seen, that the chap who lives in this house, who's called Dan Ware, has been interviewed by The Sun and The Telegraph tomorrow. And he's quoted by one of The Telegraph's reporters, Christopher Hope, as saying, she is a snob. What has she got? A three-storey townhouse in Islington. And he said he will continue to fly the flags. I don't care who it pisses off. So you could see how the story might run on. But, you know, given all the other events tonight, it does seem rather odd. So finally, on the last thing for this evening before everyone heads off to bed, no doubt, what does this mean for Labour going forward, James? You know, you've mentioned this is going to affect future resignations and their meeting. You know, is Labour going to be criticised for their handling of the situation, do you think?
I think it will come to be seen as a very knee-jerk decision. I also think that there was an easy line for Labour tonight, which is, look, let's concentrate on the big story this evening, which is the Tories losing, which is the big story this evening, which is that the Tories are expected to lose a second seat to UKIP, a seat that is nowhere demographically favourable to UKIP as the first seat they lost. But instead, much of a chatter is going to be about another Labour Party yet again doing some self-harm.
Right, well, you can follow all the Rochester and Strood by-election, the continued reaction to Emily Thornberry's resignation, on Coffeehouse at spectator.co.uk/coffeehouse. Thank you both very much to James and Isabel for joining. I'm Sebastian Payne.
The View from 22 was presented and produced by Sebastian Payne. You can read all the articles discussed in this week's Spectator magazine, available in newsagents and on the Kindle and App Store. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or find more episodes at spectator.co.uk/podcast.